Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 4, and I want us to think about something together. The God who made the whole world, who made everything in the world, who made time, who made us, the God who has no beginning and no end, the God who knows all things, knows the end from the beginning. The God came to the earth that He made. And after 30 years of waiting, He began to preach. God did. And the reason He preached is because He had something to say to man. And if a man is ever going to hear anything in his life, a man or a woman, if they're ever going to hear anything in this life, don't you think that he would be wise? Don't you think we would be wise to hear what God has to say to us? If a man's ever going to hear anything, don't you think he would be wise to hear what God has to say to him? Well, right here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, that was 2,000 years ago. And He didn't say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven will come in a few thousand years." He said, "It's here." And there's not a soul standing on the face of this earth that has not sinned against His God. We all have. So our Lord said, and He's commanded every called and sent preacher of God to say, "Get ready. We're going to meet God. Get ready. We're going to go meet God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. Verse 16 says, "And He spake a parable unto them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" You know what our Lord was telling them right there? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When men and women first hear what God has to say to them, their response is usually, "I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like this. This is starting to scare me. I don't know if I want to hear about this God." Well, here's the truth of the matter. Whether or not I want to hear about Him, I'm going to go meet Him. I'm going to go meet Him. I've got to stand before Him. And if I'm not a saved man, if I'm not a redeemed man, a cleansed man, I'm going to stand there in front of Him polluted in all of my sin. You know, realizing that is what causes a sinner to fear the Lord. You know that? Fear this holy God. Moses and Isaiah and Saul of Tarsus and John on the Isle of Patmos, as soon as they saw God for the first time. Not religion. They all saw religion. As soon as they saw God, Isaiah said, "Woe is me." Saul, trembling, said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Fear, true fear. What would you have me to do? That's the first question that every sinner asks when God reveals the truth to him. They realize, I have a judge. And that judge will have nothing to do with sin. It cannot be in his presence. He must punish it. And I'm a sinner. So he must punish me. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's an awful truth, but I'm telling us the truth. I'm telling us the truth. As soon as that consumes a sinful heart, that heart will not rest. It will not rest until it has this question answered. What must I do to be saved? We ask it all the time. It's because every sinner does. What must I do to be saved? I've got to be saved from my sins. I don't need to rededicate my life. That's not what I need. I need to be saved from my sins. The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Who? Turn with me over to Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer saw the God of Paul and Silas for the first time. And in Acts 16, verse 29, it says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Recite these Hail Marys and do some community service, do some good for others, and live a more morally upstanding life, and promise that you will do this, and promise that you won't do that.' No! They said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.'" That's it? That's it? That's the answer? But that seems too simple. No. Actually, it's impossible. It's impossible for a sinner without the Lord sending that Holy Spirit of Christ. It's impossible. Faith does not exist in a sinner until God sends the faith of Christ to that sinner through His Holy Ghost. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of yourself. A sinner cannot believe because it's not of himself. It's a gift of God. If God doesn't send it, there is no believing. There is no believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a gift of God. It's not a work of man. It's a gift of God. But it seems so small. It seems so insufficient on my part. There is no my part in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just said it's impossible without God sending His Holy Spirit. But if God sends His Holy Spirit, And if God causes you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. God said that. Any sinner who truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be condemned for his sin. Cannot. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. No condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh. Who walk not after trying to live right in this flesh. Who walk not after trying to earn their way to heaven through their own flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who walk through this life believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in heart and spirit. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If God ever sends salvation to a sinner, He's going to put in their heart, number one, a desire to believe. I want to believe. You know that? He's going to put a desire to believe. And He's going to put in there a very particular belief. A very particular belief. What is it? Because I want to know what it is. And I want to believe it. I want to be saved. I want God to save me. So what is it? What will they believe? Well, here's the answer. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 1. Here's the answer. Matthew 1 verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what believers believe. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now we do not, we try not to refer to him as Jesus. Over in John chapter 13, verse 13, our Lord said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. I cannot find one instance of the Lord's disciples coming up to him in person and personally addressing him by saying, Jesus. They didn't do that. They called him Master. They called him Lord. Out of love, out of respect, and out of reverence. I don't even call my dad by his first name. Out of love and respect, much less my God. So we don't just call his name Jesus. But here's how believers do reverently call him Jesus. They believe God became a man. God became a man. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe on God manifest in the flesh. This man Jesus can't just get you to God. This man Jesus is God. Do you know that? He is the God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What does that mean exactly? Believe what? Here it is in Matthew 1 verse 21. It says, thou shalt call his name Jesus for, because he, one, only one. He alone. Not he and me. Not he and me. Not he and me. He. Salvation is not a cooperation between he and me. Salvation is not a cooperation. Salvation is an operation by the great physician. He. Turn over to Acts chapter 4 with me. Acts chapter 4 verse 10 says, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No other name. None other. He. Christ alone. Is that what you believe? Is that what you believe? He alone. Go back over to Matthew 1. Verse 21 says, "He shall." You know what that means? It means he's able and he's willing. He's the only one who can. He's the only one who will. Paul said, "I am persuaded that he is able." He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he shall. If the sinner comes to Christ, labored and heavy laden, Christ will give him rest. How does a person come to him for rest? How does a person come to him for rest? We come with the heart. That's the answer. We come with the heart. We don't come down front. We don't come to the front of the church. We don't come to the preacher. We don't come to the priest. We come to Christ with the heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. We believe with the heart that the one who is able will. Turn over to John 11 with me. John 11 verse 23 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Believest thou this? Do you believe he shall? Or do you believe that God wants to save you if you'll let him? Do you believe that he shall? Or do you believe that he's standing at your heart's door knocking, waiting on you to make the move? Which do you believe? Back over in Matthew 1, verse 21 says, "He shall save." He did not start the work and leave the rest up to you. He did not. He did not make salvation possible. He made it secure. He did not show us the way. He is the way. Philippians 1 says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's finished. Christ finished it. The song says, if you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God, for He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Verse 21 says, He shall save His people. His people. Not one soul is in hell that Christ died for. Not one soul. There is a heaven and there's a hell. And if one soul that Christ died for is in hell, then he's a failure. And he cannot do what he says he can do. If one soul is in hell who Christ died for, then we would have to say, call his name Jesus, for he might save his people. There's no hope in that. There's no comfort in that. There's no security in that. Turn with me over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 verse 1 says, Behold my servant. That's Jesus Christ. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. That's Jesus Christ. In whom my soul delighteth, that's Jesus Christ. I've put my spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Verse 10 says, Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? Because he shall not fail. He shall not fail. He said to his father, Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. What this means is, Christ didn't come to die for everybody. Christ didn't come to die for everybody. He didn't come to save everybody. He came to save his people. His people. Well, who are his people? That's the best part. That's the most amazing part of it all. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 verse 15 says, And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Do you know who his people are? Sinners. Sinners like you and me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. Is that not the greatest news you've ever heard in your life? It is if you're a sinner. It is if you're a sinner. Romans 5 verse 7 says, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means He saved us. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. His people. Back over in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from. That word means removal. It means separation. That means when Christ went to the cross, He took our sins with Him. The real, actual sins that we right now carry out in time. Christ put them away in eternity. I still have plenty of sins ahead of me that have not been carried out in time yet. But Christ has already put them away. Isn't that wonderful news? He took them from His people and He laid them on Himself. And they're gone. They're gone. Praise Christ our God for that. They are gone. He shall save His people from there. Christ didn't just put away sin. He put away my sin. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, because it's well. It is well. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. All the debt we owed. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Now let me ask you this. Believest thou this? Do you believe that God Himself is the one who came? Do you believe that He alone is the only one who's able and willing? Do you believe that all He requires is to see your need of Him? Cry out to Him. Do you believe you are a sinner? It was your sins that nailed Him to that cross. Do you believe that? Do you believe through the fact that God raised Him up, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid your debt in full? If you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then it sounds like salvation has come to you. And if salvation Himself has come to you, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Christ the truth has set you free. And you are free indeed. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.